Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the secret societies when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership, private property, and private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? That bonds are the exact opposite to private property? That public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights? And permits are the exact opposite to private business? And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by government agencies like OSHA, or the EPA, or the State Tax Commission, Zoning and Planning, or the Internal Revenue Service, and the swarms of government agents and agencies that are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot that you can do, and the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first, and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about this thing called private business. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free, and it's a place to start. Why don't you call and order one right now? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Then click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package off of our archives page. Again, that's georgegordon.org, and then go to our archives page. All right, we are reviewing a book written by Len Horowitz. Len Horowitz wrote a book dealing with this thing of the secret societies and what they're doing to us in the realm of medicine. And then chapter 3 deals with the secret societies and their origins and their power. I thought, first of all, we would report on the secret societies, and then we would make a report on the New Age Bible versions, because there's a program afoot, an agenda afoot, to change the Bible, to change the King James Version. 63,000 words have been dropped out of 750,000 words, about 10%. In addition to that, there have been numerous changes in the text itself. Some verses have been modified. Some verses have been omitted. Some verses have been added. Words and definitions have been changed in these new versions. And the author, whose name is G.A. Riplinger, his contention is, the thrust of his book, is that these are fraudulent misrepresentations of the true and the original King James Version. All right, so that gives us the plot of the story. So I said, well, let's go back and take a look at the original King James Version. And who were the people that wrote the King James Version? It was the Freemasons. King James was a Freemason, and he gave the work to Francis Bacon, who turned it over to the committee. All of these people are Freemasons, in the same way that the American Revolution is a Masonic revolution. Of the 56 signers to the Declaration of Independence, boys and girls, 50 of them were Masonic members. All right, that's not to say that I'm a Mason or that I'm boosting or trying to take away from Mr. Riplinger's work. It is true that these New Age versions are occultic, no doubt about it, and that they are a fraud upon the Scripture. There's no doubt about that, and he documents that very adequately. But I thought, let's go back to the people who have the power to do this. Where did these people get this power? How long has this been going on, this New World Order program? And the answer is, it got started back at the Tower of Babel. We had a one-world government, and that one-world government, early on, was looked upon by the creator of the universe, the guy that had just a few hundred years prior to this, brought upon a destruction of the entire world and its pre-flood government. And then within about 300 years, we now have this Tower of Babel story over here. Listen to this. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, and let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Eternal came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Eternal said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Eternal scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the whole earth, and they left off to build the city, and therefore is the name of it called Babel, or Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Eternal scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So if you're wondering where and when and how language developed, this is where, when, and how it developed. Now, a lot of times people will call and they'll write and they'll say, you ignorant fool, don't you know about science? Don't you know about archaeology? Well, I try to. I try to keep up with archaeology and science. But I haven't thrown out the scripture. I haven't thrown out the Kwok Ting test. Now, remember last time I told you there's a way that we can tell what's true and what's false. So let me show you how this works. It's called the Kwok Ting test. And it comes from a famous case called Kwok Ting. This guy was a Chinese fellow, and he said that he lived here in the United States, went to, you know, when he was born here. He's a citizen. And his parents took him back to China when he was 10, and he came back when he was 16. He wanted to be re-entered, and there was some question as to his parentage and his citizenship status. And so out of this came a test that was applied to determine whether the guy was telling the truth or not. And there's three tests that we have to apply. The testimony must be complete. The testimony must contain extemporaneous detail. And the testimony must be supported by witnesses and evidence. Those are the three tests that we apply. Now, when we apply the Kwok Ting test to the scripture, it passes. Every time that I've tested it, it has. When we apply the Kwok Ting test to evolutionary philosophy, to science, to archaeology, it flunks most of the time. Not always, but most. So, as a jurist, I have to look at the evidence and then have to draw a conclusion from this evidence. After all, that's what the judicial process is all about. And so, when I got this book in the mail from Richard, who sent me the book, and he said, I want you to read this New Age versions. Actually, he didn't tell me what he wanted. He didn't put any note in there at all. He just sent me the three books. Now, I'm looking at the first book here called G.A. Riplinger, New Age Bible Versions, 690 pages. And I read the book, and I said, wow, this is a 1 in 100 read. It's really good. But when I finished it, I said, well, now, this is a controversy. This author has raised a controversy. His presumption is the King James Version is true, accurate, and correct, and these new versions are false. And he's comparing the true, accurate, and correct King James Version with these New Age versions. And so right away I brought up the subject. I said, well, wait a minute. How do we know that the King James Version is true, accurate, and correct? I personally know of 172 mistranslations in the King James. And as I pointed out to you, I said, even the King James never kept any of you people from eating pig, which you were told not to do. You know, if we were to take a look at 10 doctrines, it is integration and segregation, Christmas, pork, Easter, interracial marriage, unjust weights, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, and adultery. Hell, we don't have to go beyond the King James to find people practicing integration, Christmas, eating pork, practicing Easter, interracial marriage, practicing paper money or unjust weights and balances, practicing witchcraft, that's called Halloween, practicing sodomy, it's called how do they word that now here in the United States? We got a name for this. An alternative lifestyle. That's the spin that we put on sodomy. It's called an alternative lifestyle. Abortion, we practice abortion here, and adultery. Well, adultery is a sport in this country. And one of these days they're going to put it on the Olympic roster. We'll have an Olympic sport called adultery. You know, just be patient. It's coming. Now, that's just the tip of the iceberg, and that comes right out of the King James. And you people didn't have to be deceived by the New Age versions to practice those 10 criminal activities. And the King James came from the Masons, which is the same group that is giving us these new versions. So I said, you know, this story is a little deeper than just meets the eyeball here. So we need to determine just how accurate the King James is. And I told you it's pretty accurate. I checked it out, and it's pretty accurate. It's not quite foolproof. You know, it's not bulletproof, but it's pretty close. And the New Age versions are so far off the mark as to make it laughable, but it really doesn't make any difference to the average Joe Sixpack out on the street, because the average Joe Sixpack out on the street has never read the Bible anyway. So it wouldn't make any difference to him what version of the Bible he was reading. He has never read it. And he has nothing to compare it to. So the only people that we would rationally look at and say, then when we write a book like G.A. Riplinger has written, it has to be written to and for the elect. Only the people who have actually read the Bible and are familiar with its terms and conditions could get any meaning out of it. So for about 99% of all you people out there in the world, this isn't even on your radar screen. It's only on the radar screen of 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, perhaps. I would presume that those people have read the scripture. It's probably on the radar screen of the elect spoken of in Matthew 24, where they would be deceived if it were possible. And there is a deceiver. He's called Satan, the devil. And God says he's not the deceiver because he's the guy that tells the truth all the time. All the time. You can rely upon him. And I pointed out to you last time, I said, you know, deception comes from telling the truth. You tell the truth and you mix it with error. That's called spin. That's what you get from the president's news conference. Spin. Lies. So, and I said, we have to go back then to the secret societies, that is the Freemasons and their progenitors, to find out what is this agenda, and is the God of heaven able to use these Freemasons to actually translate his message to you and me? And then could we then, that's you and me, can we look at this message and then can we figure out which one, you know, which part of the message is a lie and which part is the truth? So that's why I said, yeah, we got to use the Kwok Ting test. Yep. We've got to be familiar with the Committee of 300 and the Trilateral Commission and these secret societies. But I think we need to be familiar with the beginning of the secret societies. And to do that, we start with the Committee of 300. So if you'll get the book called The Committee of 300, and you get that from John Coleman. Remember John Coleman? And he's out in Nevada. 1-800-942-0821. It's a telephone number. And you're looking for the book called The Committee of 300. The last time I got a copy, it was $24.95 postpaid. It might be more than that now. It's been some years. If you're overseas, you got to add a couple bucks for shipping and handling. But why don't you call first? It's 1-800-942-0821. That's Dr. John Coleman. And he also puts out a number of other books and publications. So why don't you ask for his catalog? And I think that it'll be well worth your time, effort, and energy. This guy is an old English spook. He belonged to what we call the CIA here. It's called MI6 in England. And he's not revealing any secrets. I asked him that very question, and he said, no, sir, I'm not revealing any secrets. I'm telling you everything that I'm telling you here, he said, is already in print. I was absolutely dumbfounded. I couldn't believe I never heard these things before. So if you want to know things that you've never heard before about the secret societies, then this guy, John Coleman, is the place to go, because he's a member of a secret society. It's called MI6. A man who is a member of the FBI is a member of the secret society. A man is a member of the CIA is a member of a secret society. MI6, that's a secret society. And what goes on there, they're not broadcasting for you and me. But these secret societies, they also have an origin. Now, to escape capture and death, many of the Knights Templar fled to Scotland in the flotilla described by Gardner. Thus, the lion's share of the Templars' treasure escaped the French king and the Pope. The Templar fleet sailed to Scotland, where the treasures and the survivors were believed to have just disappeared. Well, King Robert the Bruce of Scotland welcomed the Knights who built a temple there, and it still stands today. Amazingly, it's built to the exact ratio and proportion to King Solomon's temple in the Holy Land. Many believe the arcana remains buried there. Others believe remnants may still lurk in France. The flags that the Knights Templar flew on their voyage to Scotland was the skull and bones. Okay, so let's underline skull and bones, because most of us think that that's a pirate emblem. Now, we have a secret society here at Yale University in the United States, and it's called Skull and Bones. And George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., and Prescott Bush, the grandfather, were all members of Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones is the preeminent secret society in the United States. And John Coleman points that out in the Committee of 300. He doesn't identify just the Committee of 300 and its members, but also all of the secret societies going back into ancient times. And especially how relevant these organizations are, like Skull and Bones, to the New World Order, this New World Government that's in the process of being formed right in front of our eyeballs today. You are witnessing Bible prophecy being performed right in front of your eyeballs. They're not pirates, these Skull and Bones. That was their colors. And today we have the Skull and Bones secret college fraternity, headquartered at Yale, to which many of the world's wealthiest, most powerful leaders, men like past Central Intelligence Agency or CIA director and past president George Herbert Walker Bush belong. And George Bush Jr. belongs. He has the word belonged here. They still belong to that. The Gardner presented his most famous bloodlines of the Holy Grail, and a lecture at Yale University, the home of the Templar Skull and Bones, and the Vatican-funded medieval department seemed suspicious. The Gardner stated 33 as the number of royal families that he served in compiling the evidence for his books and thesis seemed uniquely coincidental to the 33rd degree, the highest peak to which Masons aspire, not to mention the 3 times 11 or 33 vibrations per second that Dr. Bullinger wrote was associated with the note Mi on the Salvetko scale. Yet, what could all of this mean? That Gardner was Britain's grand prior of the sacred kindred of St. Columba, the royal ecclesiastical seat of the Celtic Church, and had direct access to ancient sacred Celtic Church records, further fueled suspicions of Masonic loyalty. As will be discussed later, key arguments in Gardner's testimony are difficult to reconcile, particularly his witnessing of Templar goodwill in spreading Christianity, according to Jesus, that is, in the strict Nazarene sense. Moreover, as you will soon see, far more is implied by me and its vibrational rate of 6 as it relates to 33, or 3 times 3, in Pythagorean sense. Now, aside from these suspicions, Jesus' life and death comes into play, and Gardner presented a riveting and controversial thesis. He alleged that Jesus had not died on the cross, but went on to extend his Davidian bloodline. This knowledge, considered heresy to Christians, was also the source of great ecumenical discontent in King James' time and long before. Gardner said that this knowledge, allegedly based on royal documents, was the principal cause of the Catholic Church's brutal inquisition when church leaders sought to supersede legitimate royal rule. The King of the Jews' growing popularity, knowledge of Christ's royal bloodline, and the long-term threat posed by his messianic lineage, Gardner advanced, was the primary reason for Jesus' three-day crucifixion. This was said to be merely a symbolic dethroning of Christ from his royalty. Moreover, Jesus' rising, Gardner stated, was the modern interpretation of Christ's living body being carried up and over the hill, away from the crucifixion site by Joseph. Gardner further proposed that Christ continued to live with Mary Magdalene and then raise children. His holy bloodline continued to threaten the Catholic Church at the time of the Templars, as Gardner explained thusly. They continued to be a high threat to the great church and the figurehead monarchs and governments empowered by that church, and they were the very reason for the implementation of the brutal Inquisition, because they upheld a moral and social code that was very contrary to church requirements. This was especially apparent during the age of chivalry, which embraced a respect for womanhood. This was exemplified by the early Knights Templars, whose constitutional oath supported the veneration for the great Grail Mother, Queen Mary Magdalene. Undaunted by the Inquisition, the Nazarene movement pursued its own course, and the story of the bloodline that Gardner said evolved from Jesus' royal offspring was perpetuated in literature, romantic literature now, such as the Grandsome Grail and the High History of the Holy Grail. These writings were largely sponsored by the Grail courts of France themselves, the courts of Champagne, Anjou and others, and also by the Knights Templar, and directly by the Dispassonic houses, and it was at that stage that Arthurian romance suddenly emerged in the late Middle Ages as a popular vehicle for the Grail tradition. You know, King Arthur and the Holy Grail. Well, Gardner went on to record that King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table later became central figures in the Grail story. Arthur was absolutely unique in a particular stage of this bloodline heritage. He held a dual heritage in the messianic line. King Arthur was by no means mythical, as so many have supposed and surmised, he said, and then continued. Arthur was born in 559 AD, and he died in battle in 603. And his mother was a Gurn Dalak, the daughter of Queen Vivian of Avalon, in direct descent in the female matriarchal line from Mary Magdalene. His father was High King Aidan of Del Riada, the western highlands of Scotland, which are now called Argyll. Aidan, at that time, was the British Pen Dragon, the Head Dragon, the King of Kings, in direct Nazarene descent from Jesus, his brother James. Well, now, you know, we're getting into some heavy-duty stuff here. Here's a tradition, here's a history that claims that Jesus didn't die, as the Bible, the King James Version, claims. You know, Jesus has no wife in the King James Version of the Bible. He's killed. He is entombed. He's there for 3 days and three nights. He rises from the dead. In the book of Acts, he goes off to heaven. He shows his disciples the holes in his hands. He has been resurrected from the dead. And this story that I've just related to you now is something totally different, isn't it? And yet, you know, millions of people believe these stories. I'm not here to get you to believe one story or another. I just wanted to bring to your attention that there's these stories. You've got the New Age versions of the Bible. You've got the King James Version of the Bible. And then you've got these occultic stories that float around, and they claim to come from these ancient scrolls. They come from these biblical accounts. And here again, you know, the average Joe Sixpack out here on the street, he's never read the Bible, so he wouldn't know one way or the other. He would not be able to come to an intelligent conclusion. He ain't got anything to base it on. Now, some of you out there do. Some of you have actually read the Scripture. And if you have, then you have fixed in your mind maybe a lot of confusion, but maybe you've got a lot of understanding. All of us are at some level of understanding. Now, there's a, in the King James now, I'm going to flip over here and show you a little something. In the book of Isaiah, here's from the King James, here's from God himself now, here's the official, this is what we're going to presume is the official. In Isaiah 28, verse 9, here's God, and he says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. But the word of the Eternal was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Now that's what I pointed out to you earlier. People who have followed the King James, or at least claim to, practice integration in violation of Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. They practice Christmas in violation of Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6. They eat pork in violation of Leviticus 11, verse 7. They practice Easter in violation of Jeremiah 44, verses 17 through 19. They practice interracial marriage in violation of Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 11. They practice unjust weights in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. They practice witchcraft in violation of Leviticus 20, verse 27. They practice sodomy in violation of Leviticus 20, verse 13. They practice abortion in violation of Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 5. And they practice adultery in violation of Exodus 20, verse 14. Now, that's just 10. That's just 10 out of 81, remember? I'm just pointing it out as a reporter that the people who have been reading the King James over the last several hundred years have been deceived into committing those crimes. Without ever having seen a New Age version. They've never read the King James. They've never read one New Age version of the Bible. So the conclusion that I've come to is that the only purpose for the New Age versions is to deceive the elect. Only the elect would have ever read the Bible and would have practiced the law. And don't eat pork, don't practice integration, Christmas, Easter, New Year's. They don't practice unjust weights and balances. They don't practice interracial marriage, witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, or adultery. And they could be deceived if it were possible. Well, how would it be possible? Well, you'd have to get these people to believe something that was a lie, because they've already been grounded in the King James. Now, the Bible is written in code. It's written in code, and this is the code right here. And the code is explained by the Messiah himself in Matthew chapter 13. And his disciples came to him one day, and they asked him this question. They said, "Why are you speaking to these people in parables?" And he said, in verse 11, he answered and said unto them, "Because it's given unto you know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it isn't given." So this thing called the kingdom of heaven is a mystery that isn't given to the average Joe Sixpack. And so the secret societies come in and they say, aha, this is the mystery, this is the secret that we're all aspiring to. And so they have these mysteries. Now these mysteries are totally separate from the truth of the Scripture. But in the Scripture there is an elect. Now the secret societies call these the adepts. There's a mirror opposite here. You've got Satan with the adepts, and you've got God the Creator with the elect. And these adepts and Satan are trying to usurp the inheritance of the elect. And there's a contest going on here, all right. No two ways about that. And this contest is being waged by deception. And in the Scripture, the Creator says, "Beware, boys and girls, because you're being deceived. And you need to be able to uncover and identify these deceptions." So I thought, well, why don't we go back and take a look at what is the plot in the game? Well, the plot in the game is called eternal life. It's called salvation. And when we look in the Scripture, we find that salvation is eternal life. You need eternal life. And that's what the Creator, the God of heaven, has offered you. He offered you three things. He offered you eternal life, rulership over the nations, and an inheritance in the earth. Now, to deceive you into believing that you're going to get something else. He got you to believe that heaven is the reward of the saved, and if you're not saved, then you're going to go to hell, and you're not going to die. You're just going to live in hell forever and be tortured and tormented forever. So in the Scripture, where we're told plainly, for instance, in Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel 18, let me see if I can find it for you. It says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Did you get that? I'm going to read it to you again. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now that's a pretty plain statement. It says the soul that sinneth is going to die, so death then is the reward of the unsaved, isn't it? The sinner. "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear?" Listen to verse 4. He says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's twice in the same chapter. Souls sin, and souls that sin die. Have you ever been to a funeral? Have you ever observed the corpse in the casket? Did you notice that there was something different about that corpse in the casket from the rest of the people at the funeral? Did you notice that he was dead, unanimated? He knew nothing, didn't talk, didn't speak, and didn't say anything? Hey, we're at the halfway point here. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements are recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the secret societies. It's a chapter out of Lynn Horowitz's book. Lynn Horowitz's book, remember, is called Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse, written by Lynn Horowitz. Look it up and see if you can get it from, Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Their publisher is called Tetrahedron Publishing Group, Sandpoint, Idaho. All right, this New Age Versions over here is written by G.A. Ripplinger. You might want to get a copy of that. That's the ultimate review that we're making here is going to be from a fellow named Richard, who sent me a copy of the book, presumably to review, which we are going to do. We are not doing it this week. I'm going to give you the background to it first. And then there's John Coleman, who wrote The Committee of 300, and his phone number is 1-800-942-0821. Again, that's 1-800-942-0821. That's Dr. Coleman from World in Review, Carson City, Nevada. Now, when we took our break here, I was showing you here that Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the guy who is portrayed here in the King James Version of the Bible as Melchizedek, the guy who brought about Noah's flood, the guy who came down and said, "Let us make man in our image," in Genesis 1, "let us make man in our image." Did you notice that there's two of these gods? There's God the Father, and then there's God the Son, and they have this Father-Son relationship. And it's spoken of quite often here in the New Testament here, in the King James Version. Now, we just covered this little story over here about Jesus in some traditions. Now, in some of these Gnostic-type reporting, the Kabbalah, in witchcraft, they teach that no, Jesus didn't die. He was injured very badly, but he didn't die, and he went on and lived, and he had children, and those children ended up, and there's a royal bloodline, and there's quite a little story that goes along with that. And that's a part of this New Age religion, New Age. That it's false and fraudulent is apparent, but not to the average Joe Sixpack on the street, as I pointed out, only to the elect, only to those that have read the scripture and know that what the controversy is. This controversy is between Satan and the Creator God. That's the plot of the story. Now, in the story, in Matthew 13, a question was was raised. Why do you speak to these people in parables? Now the Messiah said, I'm speaking to these people in parables so that they cannot understand what I'm telling them. Because whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. That's in Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 13. Because this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus is not trying to save the world today. And that runs counter to all the religions, all the Christian religions. They have Jesus working his heart out, trying to get you saved so you can go to heaven. Walk around on golden streets, where he can wipe away your tears. Isn't that special? But when we actually read the scripture, he tells us a different story, and that's the story of the scripture. When you're reading the scripture, it tells you the exact opposite from what you heard in Sunday school just last Sunday. Now, when I went to Sunday school, this chapter 13 was explained to me at about age 11 or 12 by Mrs. Ray, the Sunday school teacher, and I'm sure she was a nice lady, and I'm sure that she meant well, and she was trying to teach all the children there the gospel truth. But she said the reason that Jesus spoke in parables is because those poor farmers in those days, they were ignorant, didn't go to school like you lucky boys and girls do. Notice we were lucky boys and girls. The God luck had to come into them. And so you children today, you go to school and you can learn these stories of the Bible. But see, they didn't know about salvation. And so Jesus spoke in parable to make it simpler and easier for them to understand, so that they could be saved and go to heaven with Jesus. Now listen, here's what Jesus said. He said, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. He says, I'm speaking to them in parables so that they can't understand, so that they cannot be saved. Now, that's pretty plain. I mean, I didn't write that, so I'm just a reporter here to report that to you. That doesn't mean that the creator of the universe doesn't have a plan, doesn't have an agenda. He doesn't have a program for the Chinese and the Japanese and all you Muslim people and, in fact, all of you Christian people out there. It's just that it isn't in 2010. That's all. The plan includes all of you people, in past, present, and future, and there's an overall game plan being worked out that people called the elect, they're called adepts in the Masonic order, they're called the elect in the scripture, can understand that because that's the plain teaching of the scripture. Now the other side wants to understand that. They want to pervert it. And the root plot here is to deceive the elect. Satan has already deceived Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid. They don't need any deception. Hell, they've already been deceived. They're already working for Satan. But there's 12,000 from each tribe plus an innumerable multitude that are coming up in the first resurrection, earmarked for the first resurrection. Those are the people that are being earmarked for deception. That's why we need these New Age Bible versions. So I thought we'd start our discussion off by looking at, well, who has the power to rewrite the Bible? And the answer is the secret societies. They have that power. And they have not only the power, they have already accomplished it. They have already done it. But they've got something bigger, badder, and more worser coming up. We haven't seen the end of these guys yet. They've got bigger, better plans for the future, and we'll take a look at that next week. Now, these modern Templars, according to the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, by the 1700s, many secret and semi-secret fraternities hailed the Templars as both their precursors and mystical initiates. Many Freemasons at the time appropriated the Templars as their own antecedents. Some Masonic rites or observances were to have come from that order. Arcane secrets were considered inherited. The evolution of the modern Templars was described as follows. By 1789, the legends surrounding the Templars had attained positively mythic proportions, and their historical reality was obscured by an aura of obfuscation and romance. Knights Templars were regarded as occult adepts, illumined alchemists, magicians, magi and sages, master masons and high initiates, veritable supermen, endowed with an awesome arsenal of arcane power and knowledge. They were also regarded as heroes and martyrs, harbingers of the anti-clerical spirit of the New Age. Since the French Revolution, the aura surrounding the Templars has not diminished. At least three contemporary organizations today call themselves Templars, claiming to possess a pedigree from 1314 and characters whose authenticity has never been established. Certain Masonic lodges have adopted the grade of Templar, as well as rituals and appellations supposedly descended from the original order. Toward the end of the 19th century, a sinister order of the New Templars was established in Germany and Austria, employing the swastika as one of its emblems. Figures like H.P. Blavatsky, founder of Theophacy, and Rudolf Steiner, founder of Anthroposophy, spoke of an esoteric wisdom tradition running back through the Rosicrucians to the Cathars and Templars, who were purportedly repositories of more ancient secrets still. And in the United States, teenage boys are admitted into the DeMolay Society without either their or their mentors having much notion whence the name derives. In Britain, as well as elsewhere in the West, recondite Rotary clubs dignify themselves with the name Templar and include eminent public figures. Now let's take a look at the Knights Templar of Malta and the Nazis. During their investigation of the Knights Templar and their affiliated agents and organizations, the book Holy Blood, Holy Grail, the authors Bagent, Lay, and Lincoln, identified a secret order behind the Knights Templar which created the Templars as its military and administrative arm. This had been most often referred to as the Peur de Sion, spelled, it's a French word, PDS, P-R-I-E-U-R-E, D-E-S-I-O-N. Now, in the scripture, in the King James Version, we see both Zion, spelled Z-I-O-N, and Sion, the Greek version, spelled S-I-O-N. It's called the PDS, or Priory of Sion, although the volume of supporting evidence for this was copious. These authors provided a detailed summary of their findings, especially relevant to the later chapters of this book, and that is, those dealing with organized conspiracy and methods of deceiving, controlling, and even killing large populations. Let's pause here for a moment. Let's underline that. This Priory of Sion is an organization of occultists, and they have an agenda. And these authors provided a detailed summary of their findings that was relevant in dealing with organized conspiracy, methods of deceiving, controlling, and even killing large populations. Now let's take a look at World War I, killed about 25 million. World War II, killed about 50 million. And right now today, over in Iraq, we've succeeded in killing around 3 to 4 million Iraqis. And we're in the process of doing the same over in Afghanistan. I once talked to a fellow, and he told me that he was a Muslim, young black kid, you know, working at the job. And I asked him, why are you a Muslim? And he said, well, I converted to Muslim because the Christian religion is so bloody. Bloody, he said. Now, the Christians themselves don't know where they came from. They presume that they are descended from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, no, no. No, you're not descended from Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is Zeus, the Greek sun god, Christ, Krishna, the Indian sun god. And the Christian religion is a pagan religion that was melded into the Mithraic, Babylonian mystery religion in the time of Constantine. And so we Christians who are pagans, how do I know we're pagans? Well, I pointed this out. It's because we do not practice the scripture. We don't practice segregation. We practice integration. Segregation is the law of the Bible. That's what I read to you earlier in Genesis chapter 11. The creator of the universe segregated us. He dispersed us around the world. We're the ones that came along and said, no, God, you made a mistake. We need to integrate. That's why we have America, the great melting pot, with all of these integration and all of these new populations coming over here to the United States. We have about 7 million Muslims living here now, Middle Eastern Arabs. We have people from India and Pakistan and, you know, just in every country in the world, they're here. We practice integration. We practice Christmas. We eat pork. We practice Easter. We practice interracial marriage. We practice unjust weights and witchcraft, sodomy, abortion, adultery, usury, voting, blood, fat, census, public school, wills, inheritance tax, real estate. I mean, you name it, we do it. And these are all prohibited by our Creator. He told us, don't do that. And so we go out and do it anyway. So we've already been deceived. Now we've got a new, different deception coming up, which is called the New Age versions of the Bible. We have a new Bible being written. What's that all about? Well, that's for the purpose of organized conspiracy, methods of deceiving, controlling, and killing large populations. It's setting us up for the Great Tribulation, which is going to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. Now go read Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6. Boy, you talk about a bloodbath now. That's a real biblical scope bloodbath. And Jesus said, we haven't seen anything like that since Noah's flood. He said that in Matthew 24. He said, never before and never again will there be a killing like this? In fact, this wasn't their original intent. The authors feverishly set about to dismiss any conspiracy theory involving the PDS. And they did so with a cynical, almost derisory skepticism, fully convinced that the outlandish claims would wither under even cursory investigation. In the final analysis, they were greatly surprised by what they unearthed. And the following is a smattering of what the authors stated were indisputable historical facts about the Priori de Sion, still operating today. It's been directed by a sequence of grandmasters whose names are among the most illustrious in Western history and culture. The list of these men is shown in figure 3.2. All right? Leonardo da Vinci was one, Isaac Newton was two, and Victor Hugo was three. Three very, very historical names. Leonardo da Vinci, Isaac Newton, Victor Hugo. Hey, boys and girls, wait until you read the list of the members of the Committee of 300, which includes people like Queen Elizabeth, the reigning monarch in Great Britain today, a member of the Committee of 300. When you see the names and the addresses of some of the people over here that have been leading us in the past and are leading us today, I think you're going to be amazed. That's John Coleman, remember, Committee of 300. Phone number is 1-800-942-0821. That's in Carson City, Nevada. It's 1-800-942-0821. Dr. John Coleman, that's a Committee of 300. And then the book by Horowitz, that's called Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse. The book of Revelation is called The Apocalypse. All right, you want a bloodbath? Well, Len Horowitz lays that one bare, but his chapter 3 is the one I wanted to zero in on because it was such a good story or a good history of these secret organizations like the Freemasons and the Committee of 300 and Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderbergers and so on. Remember, that's Len Horowitz, Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse, and it's by the Tetrahedron Publishing Group in Sandpoint, Idaho. Hey, I'm running over time here. I'm running out of time. Let me give you a final reminder that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.